And it's funny that you join us as we kick off the happy hour, because Scraby has a dude wipe update.
It is... I'm shocked by this update.
Well, I want to give everybody a chance before we just, you know, lay it on them. Give them a chance to prepare for it.
Okay.
A dude wipe update coming up. 5:01 is the time. Chrisello, Mr. Scraby alongside. We're in the Odyssey Palace Studios. Tony Gwynn Jr. is probably either in or close to St. Louis by now.
Oh, Padres, let me go check my app.
Traveling to St. Louis, where they'll start a four-game series tomorrow night against the Cardinales. Padres have dropped back-to-back one-run games. They fell to the Marlins today, 3-2. Jesus Sanchez hit a two-run home run off Dylan Cease in the fifth inning. That followed an error by Manny Machado. And that was enough for Sandy Alcantara and the Marlins to hang on for a 3-2 win. The save, by the way, today, Scraby, went to Calvin Fauché. Fauché?
Sure.
Well, we should know he's from San Diego. He grew up in Chula Vista, went to Hilltop High School. And Southwestern J.C., Fauché, picked up his ninth save of the win, of the season, rather, with a 1-2-3 ninth inning today. Marlins take the series. Padres are 3-3 on the 10-game trip. And as we said earlier, you know, they're okay at the moment. They're 8 games over .500. They're a game and a half clear of the Giants for the last wild card spot. But here are the Padres' opponents the next month. St. Louis, Mets, St. Louis, Arizona, Boston, San Fran, Dodgers, San Fran, Dodgers, Seattle. There's only one losing team in that whole bunch. And that losing team is the Diamondbacks, and they're not, you know,
they
a
have
pushover.
The Padres number.
Well, the point is the Padres are 18-31 this year against teams with winning records. That had better improve over the next month, because they're going to be facing nothing but teams with winning records. Starting tomorrow night with Yu Darvish on the mound against Sonny Gray of the Cardinals. Cardinals were shut out in Colorado today, 6-0 at Coors Field. So they'll be in good spirits coming home, I'm sure. Elsewhere, Dodgers rallied. Freeman had the two-run walk-off single off the glove of Harrison Bader in left field to win it. 4-3 for the Dodgers over the Twins. Giants got two home runs from my favorite player, Rafael Devers, 9-3 over the Braves. First win of the year for Justin Verlander there. Giants take that series, move within a game and a half of the Padres for the wild card. I had something.
Sorry.
Yeah, you know what happens when you think of something and then it doesn't come to you?
No, yes, I know that feeling very well. But okay, so we're gonna do 30 Mile Zone later, and I got some great stories. But the Browns unveiled a new helmet today.
The Cleveland Browns.
Yes, and there was a massive cameraman fail during this, and I will share it later, but it is hilarious.
Is it part of the 30 Mile Zone?
It will be, yes.
The Browns have already have two helmets. They have the all-orange one and the all-white one.
And now they have a...
They have another one.
It's, I guess it's like orange stripes all brown.
Okay.
The NFL is allowing teams to open up.
I think they're allowing, you know, I get it, but I am old school on a lot of things, including the uniform. I'm willing to give you a couple of home uniforms so you can sell them. I like the bait, you know, the Padres and the... you know, City Connect.
Yep.
And that's, you know, maybe one or two on the road. That's enough. But these teams would have 39 uniforms. Drives me a little cray-cray. All right, what do you got on the update on the dude wipe situation?
Okay, so
I think we've given everybody time to prepare for this.
I put it on Twitter just now, and our boss commented with the eek face, like, oh.
Not good.
Dude wipes are... baby wipes for adults, I guess. And so one day we walked into the bathroom.
Wipes for adults. And as I said in the promo, I can't believe people even use this stuff.
But I don't mind it.
They're okay, but they're in our bathroom and they're like community property.
Yeah, that's the weird part.
Yeah, I'm like, what?
I
agree. At least if I'm going to use a dude wipe, I think I'm going to try to use my own.
So you could go to at Matt Scraby on either Instagram or Twitter. Go to my story on Instagram. But so I walk in the bathroom in the break. I'm washing my hands, and I spot something on the ground.
Okay.
Look, Chris. And again, you can go to at Matt Scraby.
Hang on. Oh, it's in your phone.
Yeah.
You're not putting it up on the
Oh, screen. I can't do it fast enough.
I can't even see that far.
Okay.
Sorry,
I look back as I'm washing my hands, and I see the dude wipes are in the middle of the two toilet stalls. So they are in the middle of the stalls.
They're sitting between the stalls.
People
in the
to
package.
Share in the package with the top open.
So you're telling
open.
Me that potentially two people were in stalls next to each other and they were sharing dude wipes as they went along.
Yeah.
You're assuming that.
Well, why would it be on the floor in the bathroom open in the middle of the two stalls? This is usually on the counter.
This is something I don't even want to delve into because I don't want to know anything about dude wipes. I don't get it.
I am highly, highly, highly
dubious
creeped out
this.
By this. Right. This is, I will never, first off, I will never go into a bathroom where someone's in it to begin with. Secondly.
That's true. Scraby will, Scraby could be dying over here. And he'll run to the bathroom between breaks and then he'll come back and I'll go, what happened? He goes, well, there's somebody in there. And I'm like, well, what if somebody's in there for like the next 2 hours? Then you're just stuck?
I'm going downstairs. I'll go to the first bathroom. Anyway.
You're so weird.
I would not sit next to someone and do my business and then reach down to the shared dude wipes that are on the floor.
Let me ask you this, and this is my last question on the subject.
Okay.
Have you ever been in a... Well, you haven't because you won't go in, but I'll ask everyone else. Have you ever been in a public restroom somewhere? Airport, let's say.
Okay.
That's a good one.
That's a good one, yeah.
I mean, if you have to go to the airport, Scraby, there's no way you're going to be able to wait.
I have to... Yeah, you're right.
You got to go. You got to share.
Well, or I wait to get
the
on
airport.
The plane.
Okay. Anyway, let's say you go. And you sit down, and you do your business, and you run. You run out of toilet paper, or there's none.
Do I have any more? Gaskets.
Have you ever knocked on the on the stall and asked the guy
Never.
Next to you to pass some underneath?
Never.
You haven't?
Oh God, no.
Okay, you would rather.
Yes.
You'd rather walk out with a messy.
Okay. Yes.
Situation. Then just simply ask the person next to you to pass you a couple underneath the stall.
No, what I would do is I would go out of the stall. I would go get napkins or paper towels or something, and then come back. Because
you can't do that.
Zero chance I'm ever asking a stranger for toilet paper in the bathroom. Zero chance. You ask the question like you do this all the time.
No, I don't. I will not sit down in a stall until I see that there is plenty
enough.
Of tissue.
That's a good
tissue.
Point, too. You have to be able to figure
but
that out.
But let's just say you forgot to look, and now you run out. I think many people listening have and would ask the neighbor to loan them some so that you don't have to get up without being able to clean up.
If you're on the chat and you've done that, please let us know why you did that.
Why? There's you don't need a why.
Okay.
You know why.
If you did that.
Yeah. I bet you somebody's done.
If someone knocked on my stall and was like, excuse me, sir, can I have some toilet paper?
I need some toilet paper. You would say what?
I would not say anything.
Wow. You would just pretend you're not there.
I would pretend I had headphones on or something like that.
You are one of the meanest people on earth.
I mean, it's not my problem that they sat down in a bathroom stall without toilet paper.
It maybe isn't your problem, but you can listen. And you're going to say, nope, not helping.
Not helping. Sorry.
Wow.
That is one of the creepiest things ever.
Wow.
Like, I can watch Art the Clown and Terrifier going to sleep, but you tell me that I need to talk to someone about toilet paper? Not
you don't have
happen.
To talk to them about it. They just asked you. You don't even have to speak. You can just roll off a few pieces, reach under the thing, and hand it to the person.
Okay, here we go.
And they'll be on their way. And guess what? You can wait till they leave so that you don't even have to be seen by them ever.
Okay, here. Excuse me, sir. I don't have any toilet paper.
Yeah, let me
here.
Get you a couple pieces.
Can I have like, I don't know, I think I'm going to need like 50 sheets.
Sure.
Okay. That's the conversation.
That is
the creepiest conversation of all time.
I think you're worse than anybody that you won't do it.
Adam Paul is saying Dude Wipes were a Shark Tank product. I'm not making fun of the Dude Wipes.
I don't even want to talk about the Dude Wipes anymore. I want to talk about whether or not you out there would help a person out who ran out.
J-Mac says, I pretended to not know how to speak English.
Okay.
That's a good one. I'm going to have to use that
You'll try that one. Just pretend not to speak English.
The one time...
Please tell me we have a nice person listening to the show who would help the other person out.
When I was 18...
In a difficult spot.
I went to Europe with my parents, and there were many a times, Chris, where there was no toilet paper where we went. And so
Europe's not a great place for that stuff.
No.
I learned that myself.
I'm going with my sock before I'm going to ask someone.
All right, let's get on to another quick subject. And then I want to talk about the NFL and how much bleeping money these people
Cole
have.
Cole said, yes, I would help.
Thank you, Cole. Thank you. I hope if I get into an airport stall and I'm in need,
I
hope Cole is next to me. He's the one guy that would help me out. All right, we're going to talk about the NFL and how much incredibly much money they have. But before I do that, if you're on YouTube, you can see it. It's the next Padre giveaway. It is called a Sandless Beach Towel. It's presented by Southwest Airlines. Now, this is a beach towel. Apparently, if you shake it or something, all the sand falls off. Okay? It's also nearly sand color from the old Padre days. Remember where they wore those kind of sand uniforms?
Yes.
It's close. But anyway, get your brown and gold beach towel. First 40,000 in attendance. Tuesday night's game. When the Padres take on the New York Metropolitans. It's presented by Southwest Airlines, as mentioned. First pitch, 6:40 p.m. Gates open 90 minutes before the game. So you want to arrive early to make sure you get the giveaway. More information, visit Padres.com/giveaways. Sandless beach towel, the next giveaway item. Next Tuesday, Padres Mets. When we return.
Oh, my gosh, Chris. Someone just admitted something on the chat that I don't know I can deal with. We have to bring it up.
We'll find out what that was when we come back, and we'll also tell you you know that NFL owners are rich, but you're not going to believe how rich when we return after traffic. More Gwen and Chris. Hi, 520. I have a few things to get done here as we come back to Gwen and Chris. Quick scoreboard update, Anthony Volpe. Volpe, home run, Yankees 2, Jays 2. Top of the fifth, AL East showdown there. Dodgers 1, some say very luckily today. I'll explain. After Scraby explains to me what happened, we were talking about the Dude Wipe situation in the restroom. Yep. We were also talking about whether or not if you were in a stall at the airport or somewhere, public place, and you ran out of toilet tissue. Would you ask the person next to you under the stall for a loan? Well, I guess it wouldn't be a loan because you're not going to give it back.
Yeah, here you go.
Right, yeah. Or if somebody asked you, would you help them out? Scraby said, absolutely not. Somebody else said they would pretend they didn't speak English. And anyway, you got another one, so I don't even know what this one is.
I'm going to have to...
But it grossed you out.
Did it ever. This is from Brian.
Maybe you shouldn't even share.
We've done this already, so...
Okay, all right.
I have had to use my hand once in a private bathroom at a restaurant. There was no paper, and I had to get up, and then I washed my hands after I was done.
I don't think I could do it.
There's zero chance I could do it. I don't even know what to say. At a restaurant? I don't know.
Don't think I might just stay
in there.
I'm telling
you.
I might just stay in there until they closed and figure somebody would come in at some point. And then, I could get some more.
I'm definitely using my sock in that moment.
That grosses me out as well. All right, let's try to get back to it here. Dave Roberts, I want to ask you this. Dave Roberts last night said after the Dodgers lost again to the Twins, and then they end up winning today, but this is after last night's loss. Dave Roberts said this. Said, it better be rock bottom. as far as how we've been pitching, how we've been playing defense. So the offense is starting to tick up. That's good. But yeah, I think as far as the quality of baseball, it's been a tough watch. I only bring this up because do you think Mike Schilt would say anything similar if the Padres were struggling? Would Mike Schilt be that brutally honest about his own team? I don't think he would. I don't know what's better or worse, but I don't think Mike Schilt would say that, that his own team was a tough watch. And I'm not knocking him. I'm saying there's different ways of going about, you know, doing your job.
I think it would have to get pretty bad for him to say that.
Because Mike Schilt is, you know, almost, I think a lot of people would say, you know, almost over complimentary to his guys.
He does.
Like, even when the most obvious thing, like, yeah, let's say Vasquez walks 12 guys, and then, you know, Mike Schilt would say, well, you know, he was struggling. He wasn't getting a couple calls. No. Why don't you just say that he was terrible?
Well, I
but
think
that's
he said
not
he was
Mike
playing,
Schilt's way.
Instead of a traffic hockey, he was playing Frogger.
Right. But that's just not what Mike Schilt would do. Roberts did say all that, and I think it's interesting. Now you get different teams, different, you know, situations.
Do you think that Dave Roberts has to be that way because his team has so many expectations and
maybe
he needs to?
I just think it's Dave Roberts' way of trying to get his guys to snap out of it.
I don't think either
Mike
is wrong.
Mike Schilt, I don't either. I'm saying that there's different ways to skin a cat. Whatever Dave Roberts said last night worked today. Dodgers win 4-3. However, a couple of things about the bottom of the ninth inning of this game, Scraby, that we haven't discussed yet.
Okay.
First two men were out for the Dodgers in the bottom of the ninth. They're down 3-2. Mookie Betts was up with a 1-2 count. I don't know if you want to find this and put it up so people can be angry.
I'm not allowed to play MLB highlights on the stream.
Then you'll just have to trust me. The next pitch was a half swing, except he swung. They appealed at first base. All the first base umpire had to do was signal correctly that Betts swung, and the game would have been over.
Oh, I'm looking. Yeah, he went.
Right. Umpire didn't say
went.
So. Umpire said, nope, he didn't go. Well, you know what happened next. Betts
yep.
got a hit. And then up came Ohtani. And this is what I want to ask you on this. Betts is the tying run with two outs. He goes to first base. Here comes Ohtani. Ohtani's already homered in the game. It's the fifth game in a row that he's hit a home run. The Twins walked him intentionally.
Mm.
Now, I don't mind that, except for the fact that by doing it, they pushed Betts to second base. And now all it's going to take is a single by the next hitter to tie the game. Would you do that? I think it was, I don't agree with Rocco Baldelli. I got to count on my pitcher to not give up a home run to Ohtani there.
But Ohtani's on a heater.
I know. So that's the call. And he decided, you know what? I'm going to move the tying run into scoring position. I don't ever like doing that.
It's tough to do that for sure.
But he did it. And then after a walk loaded the bases, Freeman got the two-run single. Dodgers win.
It's an interesting way to look at it.
It's an interesting conundrum. Now, here's the other argument on the other side. If Betts was at second base and Ohtani came up, you'd walk him without even thinking about it.
Yeah, that's a no-brainer.
So why not walk him here? You're just creating first and second. But I don't agree. I don't ever want to put a situation
where... How many outs were
there? Two outs. I don't want to put a situation where the next hitter, who in this case was Esteury Ruiz, now he walked, but I don't want to create a situation where all he has to do is get a check swing single and the game is tied up. I want Ohtani to double off the fence and tie the game.
Well, Ohtani has also been striking out a lot lately, and I'm looking at his last three games. He's hit home runs in five straight games. Last three games, obviously, he's hit three home runs, but he's only had one hit in each of those games, but he's had seven strikeouts in the last three games. So, why not bet on your pitcher to strike him out?
I'm just saying, I'm betting on my pitcher to not give up a two-run home run there.
Yeah.
As opposed to walking him and then telling my pitcher, you can't give up a single. And that's what happened. They gave up a single, they lost. It's, you know, you might say Monday morning quarterback because it didn't work, but you know, clearly did not work.
I mean, Ohtani's just scary all the way around.
He does. He changes everything. We told you the Phillies were creaming the Red Sox 5-0. They had 4 home runs, the Phillies did. Well, that's changed quickly in Philadelphia.
Oh, whoa.
Romy Gonzalez, first baseman for the Bo Sox, just hit a grand salami.
Wow.
Red Sox have gone ahead 6-5. The Phillies in the fifth. Little update there for you. All right, I promise that we talk about these football owners and how much money they have. I have something here that's going to actually put it into perspective for you, so you'll really realize how rich these people are. That and a TMZ after we take a short timeout. This is the Happy Hour. I'm Gwen and Chris. It's brought to you by GL Pools, the swimming pool experts trusted by thousands of San Diegans since 2006. Baseball season is in full swing. So is swim season. Call GL Pools. Mention radio. That'd be a good thing to say, because if you do that, you'll get a free month of pool service. Padres fall. Marlins 3, Padres 2. Padres do not win the series. Marlins win the series. Padres take a 3-3 record on this road trip into St. Louis for 4. Then the Mets come to town on Monday night to start a short homestand, which includes the Mets and then the Cardinals again. So we're going to see a lot of the Cardinals over the next 10 days or so, Scrape.
Yeah, I don't like how the schedule has worked out this year. Well, they're going to play the Dodgers in back-to-back weeks in 2 separate points in the season. That doesn't make sense.
They're going to do Giants-Dodgers.
Yeah.
In the middle of August.
And then they don't play again.
And that's it. Yeah. The schedule's stupid right now because of all of the interleague games. They don't need them.
I agree.
They just don't.
They don't.
Go back to playing teams in your division. We want to see that. And we're not the only ones.
No. Definitely not.
All right. The NFL, it has so much money. And the teams have so much money. And then we got to do traffic and finish up with your TMZ. Today, the Packers, it was reported, received a check, basically, from the NFL. And it was the revenue-sharing check. This is the money. And give the NFL credit. We've gone over this before. The NFL was smart enough to do this 100 years ago. They share the TV rating or TV money equally.
Yes.
It's allowed the league to be, you know, so much better in so many ways than baseball, where the Yankees keep all their money and the Royals get none. In football, everybody shares equally. The revenue sharing check for the Packers for this year was $432 million. Now, how much money is that? It's a lot.
$432 million.
But here's really how much it is. The average payroll for a team, the whole team, according to SpotTrack, 2024, average payroll for a whole team, $249 million. Now, that's a lot.
That is.
But it's not $432 million. If you take $432 and subtract the payroll, so every player is paid, you still have $183 million left over.
Oh, that's going in the pocket.
Number one. Number two, you still haven't sold a single ticket to a game, and you're already plus $183. You haven't sold parking for $75. Like, you don't need to do that. You see what I mean? Like,
I do.
That's the thing that makes you mad.
I do.
Okay, you want to say the ticket's worth something? It is. People would like to have the ticket. I think you can charge a certain amount because I want it, you want it, they want it. So
it's
I'm going to.
Cost okay. or demand.
There's a demand. Parking is something that you just absolutely have to do. But, you know, the team doesn't need $50 a head or $75. They could let you park for $5. and it wouldn't hurt their bottom line hardly at all.
No.
They're already plus $200 million on the revenue-sharing check to begin with. We bring this up often because it's a reminder that the next time you see so-and-so just signed a, you know, an insane contract for 10 years and you say, oh, I can't believe that guy's making this money. Would you rather him make it or the owners? Because the owners have it. Isn't that incredible?
It really is.
You could pay out your whole salary and have $183 million left over.
That, yeah, and like you said, that doesn't include ticket concessions.
Right.
That doesn't include concessions at games. That doesn't include
merchandising.
Doesn't include any of that.
And now you're going to tell me, on top of all the money you're gouging me for, you're going to make me give you $75 to park when it could be $7 and it'd be the same darn thing.
I really wish...
It really annoys the hell out of me, to be honest with you.
Well...
You know, so much money. I mean, how much is enough, as we like to say, right?
I talk about this a lot because these owners do, like, okay, fine, you have a lot of money, but, like, why keep charging?
How much more do you need?
And the reason they're charging everyone is because people pay it. I think we all need to go on strike. And just not pay for these
things. And Angel Reese. Reese is going to go on strike if they WNBA players don't start getting paid NBA salaries.
Oh, well.
Good luck with that, Angel.
I think you're probably going to be going on strike then.
I'm trying to be an Angel Reese fan, but when she says things like that, it's hard to get behind it.
I get it
on the surface, but you're not bringing in the same revenue. You can't have the same amount of money.
Yeah.
Just can't.
I mean, one day maybe you get to the point, but...
Yeah, yeah. Not now. All right.
Padres diehard said, I'm paying $50 to park at the San Diego FC game tomorrow. I actually don't even... I do mind it, but I don't mind it because they're not an NFL team. And they're not printing money.
Padres diehard, though, that's a bunch of money. It really is. You can almost walk from my house, and I would let you park in the driveway. But
Give Chris 25, and he'll let you park in the driveway.
I'll let you walk from the house.
That is a long walk.
It's a long walk, yeah. All right, let's get to traffic and then check our TMZ fun stories of the day to finish up.
If you don't know your sports gossip, can you really call yourself a sports fan? It's time to bring together sports and celebrity gossip. We call it the 30 Mile Zone, mainly so we don't get sued by the real company. On 97.3 The Fan.
Chris, Dude Wipes is infiltrating our lives. So if you go to our little video, Chris, I'm going to show you the Browns thing that I was like laughing at earlier. So the Browns...
Oh, that's their new helmet.
Their new helmet. But
they're sponsored by Dude Wipes.
It's insane. I didn't even realize that until right this moment. So
they're everywhere.
They're unveiling this helmet. But go ahead, Chris. I'm going to roll this. If you want to see us on YouTube, you can watch us on YouTube every single day, each show. Just go to YouTube, search 97.3 The Fan. Watch the guy in the number 8 jersey in the front.
I see him.
He's a cameraman.
Okay.
They're unveiling the new helmets, and he's getting the good shots, and then he walks right off of the dock into the water.
Oh, my goodness. I wish every one of you driving could see this video right now, because you would get the best laugh out of it.
Look, if you look at his right foot, Chris, he's looking for that next step.
Not there.
Step.
Well, they unveiled this new Browns helmet on a barge, right?
Yeah.
Out in the lake. I imagine it's in Lake Erie.
Yeah.
Imagine it's Lake Erie. They got the helmet under a canopy on this barge.
And they got a Dude Wipes guy there,
And it's sponsored by a Dude Wipe, which is crazy in itself. But the guy who's filming it is walking across the barge. They unveil the helmet. He's backing up to try to get a little wide angle, and he steps right off the barge, and he doesn't know it until he hits the water.
Someone, I guess we could say this is all staged for... It doesn't look staged.
I don't think so.
This guy looks like he has no idea he legitimately fell off the
barge.
Look at his right foot. It's like, ah!
Yeah, no, he couldn't have acted that. Yeah, that's a good one.
There's that one.
And you know what's funny? I barely even looked at the helmet. It's a new Browns helmet, but it's brown
in color. The
helmet
doesn't even matter, really.
No, it doesn't.
In this story.
Yeah, you got to see this video. Everybody make a point to look at the Browns video of the helmet unveiling.
Yeah, I retweeted it.
You need a laugh out there, and yes, that will give you one for sure.
Now, I know this isn't sports related, but Chris, did you hear about what happened over the weekend with the Midway?
The Midway, the ship,
the USS
down there?
Midway.
Our Midway.
Yes.
Okay.
So there was a 40-year-old man, and I'm not going to actually mention his name, but his name is out there if you really want to know. But he ended up crashing his really, really, really nice boat into the Midway because he was drunk. And so he has caused $100,000 in damage, and his boat has been impounded. I actually should have had the video ready for this, but I'm just going to get it real quick because this guy, like, this is the dangers of drinking and doing anything with heavy machinery. Give me a second for the stream people, but if you've heard about this, he is in some trouble because he ran into the Midway after he was drinking, and that's not good, Chris. That's not good. Where is this?
You know, drinking and driving is, you know,
it's terrible.
Quite frowned upon.
Yes.
Sometimes it doesn't feel like boating and drinking is frowned upon enough.
I agree.
Right?
I agree with that.
People go out on a boat. Doesn't everybody have a few?
Yeah.
Probably including the captain.
All right, here is here's the video, Chris. This is a really nice boat that this guy's got.
Oh, yeah, video of this too. I want to see. Oh man.
This is a really nice boat.
And he's just running right into the Midway?
I want to
see him actually make contact?
Yeah, watch. Someone goes, he's just rolling. Boom! He crushes into it.
Okay.
And so they came over, obviously. They checked him out. He had been drinking. And so, really, I'm just bringing this up because, A, this is a really, really bad
Let's
move.
Tell people to stop drinking
and
altogether.
Don't drink in boat. Come on.
Drink in boat, drink in bike, drink in walk. Careful out there.
And the the people on the ship were like, what just happened? This guy had no control over
his
boat.
I hope he's tasked with paying the entire freight of this.
I'm thinking he will. It's $100,000 in damage, which for the Midway. So this is a bad thing on his part.
All right,
another thing. So there was a bat flip in a Little League World Series game that got the player... let me just get this. I didn't prepare well for this segment, as everybody can hear right now. He was suspended for a bat flip.
Little League player.
Yes, a Little League player. It's Marco Rocco, a star player on Haddonfield Little League team. The reigning state champs was suspended for his bat flip ahead of Thursday's championship game. His father is seeking an emergency temporary restraining order that will allow him to play. That always makes me a little weirded out because now we're bringing in the courts so that your son can play a game. But I'm trying to put it up so that we can all see it. Oh, there we go. It's up. I got to put it over here now. And so, Chris, you can see the bat flip. It's the one on the bottom. It's not the one on the top.
Okay.
It's the one on the bottom, but here we
Again,
go.
Again, I apologize to those of you driving home.
Yeah,
we'll try our best to describe it.
Yeah, I'm trying to describe it.
It's a long home run. He throws the bat almost up into the stands.
Yeah, so he throws the bat, and then he goes around third, and he's like, can you hear me? And he's dancing as he gets into home.
Again, I'm not going to even remotely blame this kid.
Because this is what happened today in the Padres game.
This is Jesus Sanchez today. This is everybody.
I mean, he did smash
hitting home
that.
Runs.
But he did throw the bat way up in the air.
Yeah. I don't know that a suspension is warranted, though. He's a kid. Tell him, you know, to watch it. And that's enough, isn't it? Do we really need a suspension every time somebody goes off course just a little bit?
You better suspend every single kid
for everything
that is bat flipping.
Yeah, I'm not into this.
Yeah, I'm not into this either. And
I didn't like it, but that's because I'm old. I want people to hit a home run look like they've hit one, but yeah, I mean that kid, he needs, you know, like the coach has got to grab him and go, come on.
No, the coach was encouraging him as he came around third.
I'm sure
the coach was definitely encouraging him.
Different world.
Do you have any stories?
No, you had a good one earlier, and now I forgot what it was. You were going to talk about, you told me before the show, and I said, oh, yeah, let's use that.
I don't remember what you said.
What it was.
I don't remember what it was either. This is my worst.
Do you know who Joey Meyer is?
I do not.
I didn't either. I was just looking at the longest home runs ever hit in the history of baseball. And apparently, that record is held by a guy named Joey Meyer. Now, Joey Meyer played in the major leagues for a couple of brief seasons with the Brew Crew, 1988 and 89. He had 18 home runs in those 2 years, so, you know, decent slugger, first baseman guy. Joey Meyer, 6'3", 260, big guy.
That is a big guy.
Right? He's from Honolulu. He went to Hawaii University. Anyway, he was playing with the Denver Zephyrs of the minor leagues, right?
Mm-hmm.
This was before the Colorado Rockies existed, 1987. The game was at Mile High Stadium, and they have video of this if you want to see it. That's all I'm saying to everybody. 582 feet on the home run. And they still, to this day, say this is the longest home run anyone ever hit.
That
is professional baseball history. Now, I watched the video. It did not blow me away. But I wonder if that's because of the whole scene. It happened at Mile High Stadium. If you watch the video, Joey Meyer, M-E-Y-E-R, he homers into a completely empty deck of fans. There's no one sitting out there.
Wow. What, Joey Meyer. I'm going to look for
that. It was in Mile High Stadium in Denver. Remember, the Rockies even played at Mile High Stadium the first couple of years of their existence. But this is a minor league game back in 1987. There's no one sitting out there. The ball just rattles around in the second deck at Mile High Stadium, but they call it the longest home run ever hit if you care to see it.
I'm going to try to put it up on the stream because I just put up the other ones.
Do you know who's hit the longest home run in Padres history since the StatCast era? Do you know who it is? You may remember it when I tell you, but I don't think you'll think of it.
I don't know. I don't know.
Do you have a good guess?
Do I have a good guess?
Who would you guess has hit the longest home run in the StatCast era for the Padres? I know
Fernando?
Fernando's right up there. But I know who I would have guessed.
Franmil?
Franmil Reyes. To me, the longest home run I've ever seen hit by a Padre was Franmil Reyes at Petco Park, the one that bounced out in the Girardelli, whatever they call it now. They used to call it...
They call it the Gallagher Square.
Gallagher Square. I say Girardelli Square.
That's in San Francisco.
Right. The one that bounces out there and just keeps on rolling. That, to me, is the longest one I've ever hit. Well, that is the longest home run ever hit by a Padre at Petco Park.
Really? Okay. Franmil.
But it's not the longest ever hit by a Padre.
Oh, someone just said it. Franchi Cordero.
Franchi Cordero.
I do remember
very
this.
Good to who's ever out there and got that. Yeah. It was at Chase Field, Diamondbacks. Franchi Cordero. That's just funny to me. Neither of those guys is a decent, even major league ball player.
Franmil's not even in the league anymore. I don't think Franchi is either.
No, neither of them. But they've got two of the longest ever.
All right, I have the home run up on the screen now.
The Joey Meyer one?
Yes.
Yeah, watch it if you want to see it. Have you seen it yet, Scrape?
I have not.
All right, watch it.
Okay.
Press play.
I'm pressing.
Now, there's
play.
A few fans sitting there behind home plate. But watch when this ball goes out of the ballpark.
Oh, wow.
There is no one out there.
Literally, there's one person.
Right. And the ball goes up in the second deck there at Mile High Stadium, and I guess they judge that to be 582 feet.
Wow.
But it doesn't blow you away. Like, it doesn't take your breath away.
No.
Like some of the other monster shots.
No, if you could see where the ball landed, it would be
it was far.
Much more impressive.
Right.
Anyway. But, yeah, Joey Meyer.
Joey Meyer is your guy.
Okay. All right, that's it for...
What do you got coming up on the Scraby Chronicles? Anything exciting?
Oh, actually, I'm going to be talking about an article I found that says that streaming may go the way of Napster soon. Meaning,
does that make it more difficult for me to download stuff?
No, it means that people are going to start using free streaming services rather than pay for a subscription, which I think is
very interesting. But Napster has been eradicated
has
it not?
No, but it's just like they're saying it could be like a Napster-type thing where it just disrupts the industry.
Okay.
Also, Dylan Cease, of course. We're going to talk about that trade.
All the trade rumors?
Yeah, all the trade rumors.
All right, Cease was the loser today. The Marlins were the winner, 3-2. And the Padres are 55-47. They're heading to St. Louis tomorrow. Darvish starts... in Busch Stadium against Sonny Gray of the Cardinals. One score to update for you. Yankees 4, Toronto 4. Big game in the AL East, bottom of the sixth. Tying home run hit in the top of the sixth by some guy named Judge.
Oh, yeah.
His 37th of the year. Cal Raleigh is still the leader. 39 for the dumper.
For the dumper. That You're name. All about the name now.
Everybody is, aren't they not?
Yeah, no, everybody is. Schwarber, I agree with that.
Schwarber hit number 34 tonight. For the Phillies, they're still down 6-5 to the Bo Sox. Ohtani hit number 37 today, fifth game in a row. Scraby's got everything else wrapping up the evening. Don't forget, tomorrow we got Padres Roundtable, 10 a.m. I'll be there, so we'll see you then. But don't go anywhere. Scraby's Chronicles next.
That's
on 97.3 The Fan.